Luke 2. We studied 49 and part of 50 yesterday. So, verse 49, he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist or know you not that I must be about my Father's business? Excuse me. And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. We spent a lot of time on understanding not. Oh man, I'm allergic to somebody.
Before we go too far, I was looking. I must have missed it. I don't know where I was, but I'm curious. Going back to verse 48, when Mary says to her son, "Why hast thou thus dealt with us?" Again, I must have missed that. I don't remember the conversation about that. And that something that I was curious about.
Well,
did I read that? Did we talk about that?
Yeah.
Thank you. It seems to me, from my perspective, he's doing Christ Jesus is involved in a prophetic spiritual experience. You know, the beginning of this, and his response is a rather earthly one, a worldly one.
His response?
Well, her response.
Yeah, well, no question.
There's universes colliding here, I think.
Oh, yeah, no question. I don't know if we talked about what happened, I believe, is that this was his first Passover. And it was the first time he was in a Passover Seder. And so a lot of the things that had been, you know, becoming aware to him as he was, they still studied the scriptures. I mean, and they did the 3-year cycle and all that in their own local areas. So he had started to become aware of stuff.
Oh, I understand all that perfectly.
And the mother's response and the father's response is they have no idea what's going on.
Right, and
and what?
Well, what was his response to her response?
Well, his response was,
I must be about my father's business.
All right, why is it that you sought me? Don't you know what's going on?
Well, that's the question right there, is that don't you know what's going on?
Right. Obviously, and Mary forgot.
She just was missing her child.
Yeah.
Well, I understand all that again.
Yeah. But it's, you're right. It's the clash of spirit and flesh.
That's what parents say to their kids.
And they understood not this saying which he spake unto them. What's going on?
I was just saying that's how parents talk to their kids after they're freaked out. Oh,
well, I thought some recording was on in your baby voice there. All right, is that clear enough? The saying is the word rima. Why have you? They understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down. It's, remember, it's abino when they went up and katabino when they went down. So they're descending from Jerusalem. And came to Nazareth. Nazareth is Nazara, and it's a Hebrew word, but it means the guarded place or the guarded one. And was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. We're going to spend some time on this word subject. It's hypotasso in the Greek, or hupotasso. and it's a Greek military term, which means to arrange troops in fashion suitable for the task at hand. And so keep that in mind for the task at hand, for the task at hand as we search these scriptures. Man, let's go to Romans 8:20.
What word were you just...
Subject. He was subject unto his parents. In Romans 8. Verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. That's the word subject. The creature was made subject to vanity. In other words, it was under the arrangement of God that the creature was made subject to vanity. And it's the creature isn't willingly subject to vanity. But in order for God to produce the desired result, he had to make you and I and the whole human race subject to this futility and emptiness. Now, that's the real meaning of this subject, or it also means submit. But it has to do with the big view. And it was the idea that even the creature itself, even the human race, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Do you understand what that means?
No. Why?
It has to do with obedience. Remember, we've talked many times about if you knew God was in the room and he told you to go kick the wall, you'd go kick the wall without any question. But that's not what God wants, and that's not obedience. For obedience from God's standpoint is for you to kick the wall without him telling you to, because you've been so intimate with his mystery. And the only way that happened is you come to the end of everything else. So this is the whole mystery of what sanctification really means. You must push the barriers. You must push it all until you see and know with everything in you that everything, that all human effort and all your own effort is vain and empty and fruitless. Even when you want to do good, the evil one is present with you. Man. Excuse me. Does everybody understand that? That's critical in understanding the whole mystery of God. Gary, you don't look like you understand.
Well, set it up. We're not, like you said, we don't have free will. We're either subject to and serving Satan, or we're serving God. But ultimately, we're serving him either way.
Yeah, but there's the crossover.
What I'm looking for.
The crossover is once you've seen the vanity and emptiness. Let's go there. Let's go to Galatians a minute. Galatians 2. Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Again, we started out, we believing in, but that's just the baby step. Then we must live by the faith of him. Difference, massive difference. Okay, yep, first, that's the first predicate of this. The only way you can live by the faith of him is to totally disown yourself, abandon yourself, giving no thought for yourself, giving no thought for you or yours. Okay, so that's of.
Now that takes place in the realm of subjection to vanity. I mean, that's where we are.
No, that's where we were.
Well,
once you've said you've believed in him, and then that's by the understanding of the cross, you move from believing in him to the living by the faith of him, then the creature, you were that. Now you're the new thing. Now you're the new creation because Christ won the battle. But there's not much difference between one who believes in him and a Gentile because they're still running around trying to establish their own righteousness. Now, it's not just the law, i.e. this law. It's the law meaning nomos. It's the word that means the way a thing works. And you can never be justified by the way a thing works once you've crossed over from believing in him to living by the faith of him. Then the way a thing works becomes meaningless to you. Right, it's the whole thing that's the greatest enemy of faith there is. Now, it's only in that place, and again, it takes integrity in order to know and not to read. Well, let's go on.
Well, let me ask a question. Is there a time we're not subject to vanity?
Yes, the minute you see your death and you're living by his faith.
And that's a continuum.
No, that's the fruit of repentance, abandoning, disowning yourself.
Which is how we walk. That's our way of life.
Well, I hope it is. All right. But what if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves...
I'm sorry, 17.
If while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners... Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Because, or for, if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now that's, for this, what we're talking about this morning, there is no more important understanding than that. If you build again the things that you've destroyed, that you've seen destroyed, i.e., your life, what does it say? I make myself a transgressor. You didn't have to be. You didn't. The battle was over. But you decided that you're going to lean on your own arm of understanding and you're going to do something instead of waiting on him. You make yourself an evildoer, to quote President Bush. You see that? Is there anybody in here that hasn't at least for a moment in time understood the futility and emptiness of all human effort? If you've understood that for a minute of time, then your obedience was fulfilled. But if you return to the old way of thinking and doing and living, then you've built again the thing you've destroyed, and so you make yourself a transgressor. And there's no excuse. It is like. Well, it's serious. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. No longer your faith in Christ. No longer your faith in God. But because of your total and complete abandonment, you're living by the faith of the Son of God. Now that's what, if you're in that position, then you've been put in subjection.
I guess if I'm living by the faith of him, then I'm totally dependent on him. Versus if I have faith in him, I'm invested in him and expect something. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, but again, you...
Well, even that's interesting the way you phrase that, because there's a lot of personal pronouns.
Yeah, I
this, I that, I me.
I've done that.
Yeah, and so it's like, it's almost you can't even say it.
All right, let's go down and go to chapter 3, verse 22 of Galatians. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. That means not just, you don't just sin, you are sin. Right?
Yeah.
That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came or come, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Now for some, the law is still your schoolmaster. That's the next verse. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith alone. You can't do this by acting like you're doing it. But after faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you all are the children of God by faith in Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And there's neither Greek or Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond or free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one new thing in Christ Jesus. So for a time, in this mystery of sanctification, the law is your schoolmaster to show you your sin. Same as it was in the trek from Egypt to the Promised Land. They crossed it in baptism and they were wandering around, and then boom, they were confronted with the law of God. And the same thing happens in us. The law, the rest of the law, the way a thing works and all that, that's child's play compared to the law of God. And if you read the law with any integrity, you'll find out that no one in history has ever kept the Sabbath, just the simple one they get, except Jesus Christ while he was in the grave. That's why it says, if anyone ever keeps the Sabbath perfectly, then the end has come. And that's what happened. So now our position must be in this recognition of who we are. We are dead. We are simply a vessel. We have no identity other than the vessel. Because our only identity is Christ himself in us, the only hope of glory. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped to be equal, but made himself of no reputation, emptied, 100% emptied, not leaning on his own arm of understanding for anything. Now that's your heritage. That's where every believer should be. But the rebellion is so great that the law still has to have its effect on you. So that you finally come, so you see your sin. So you don't think, have any illusions about you have any entitlements, or that you have any part of you that is good. And then, and only then, can full repentance come. Otherwise, you just run around being sorry you got caught, or be sorry you did something. It is, again, the simplicity of this, looking from the top down, is immaculate. If you're looking from the bottom up, oh my God, this is all confusing. I don't know what I'm going to do, blah, 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 because your mind cannot comprehend spirit. There are no words for spirit. So you're boom. But you keep trying to put words to it, and therefore you're kept in the lower realms. So, the creature was made, and we're studying the word subject, hypotasso, hupotasso. The world was made, the creature was made subject to vanity. You and I, we were subject to vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Hope of what? Hope of the bride. Hope that you would lose your identity of the flesh. It's no, not even your consciousness anymore. Amen? All right, let's go to another one for the subject. Go to 1 Corinthians 15.
I just have one comment about this thing about personal pronouns. In the realm of spirit, there are no personal pronouns.
There's only him.
Yeah, there's only him, and there's not even it's not even part of your conversation, because you're dead. And that's not just a reckoning, it's beyond that.
Well, 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when under God, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put him all things under him, that God may be all in all. So, again, this is this great word, hypotasso. It's this military term that meant the army and the troops and all the supplies were ready for whatever task was at hand. The only task that's at hand from God's perspective is the perfection of the bride. So the entire universe is subject to that, because they're subject to Christ and Christ is subject to God. You understand that? There's nothing else going on. There's not politics, there's not wars, there's not peace, there's not nothing. Nothing in time and space from God's perspective. And what happens is, in order for you to understand this and make it, have the word become flesh, you have to begin to be, you have to homologio, confess the Lord Jesus. You can't confess the Lord Jesus, and that's unless you see what he sees. And if you hear what he's saying, you will see what he sees. Therefore, from that point forward, you'll no longer look from the bottom up as a victim of the universe. You look from the top down. And that's freedom. That's the mystery of life. That's dwelling on the mercy seat instead of just visiting it every once in a while. And that's your heritage. The only thing that keeps you from that heritage full time is giving breath to anything that's going on in time and space. Then you fall from the strong city. Again, a little bit. Again, so from the top down, it's as easy as breathing. it's just as natural as we've said. We were talking about the other stuff. It's as natural as a bird flying or a fish swimming.
Slide into him.
But if you're looking from the bottom up, then you're trying to justify everything you say or do, and you're trying to, worried about what somebody thinks of you and all the other crap that the Gentiles are worried about. So this is what this meaning of the being word being subjected. He was under his parents for this time because it was part of, he was still a child, even though he'd been now a child of the law also, he was still under his parents' household. But even in all of these things, it's all, from this military term, he was always in that position of being in order, in the order of things to accomplish the task at hand. The question is, are you? What? I think there's something about this in Psalm 64, but it may not be, so I'm going to wait and tell you. Remember, anybody remember where that scripture was? It's not 64. You fall from the words fall from the strong city. Yeah, I don't know. Huh? No, it's, anyway, wherever, we'll not worry about it. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Still talking about this being subject to. Ephesians 1, verse. Let's again. This is that prayer we read the other day. Start in verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and sat him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world, in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So all things are under his feet. Everything in time and space is under his authority and feet, and it means it's everything is doing exactly as it should, except one thing. Snake, your mind. As long as you're leaning on your own arm of understanding, then you have made yourself the mortal enemy of the Holy Spirit. Because he's in the world for these three reasons: to convict of the world of sin. It's no longer what you do or don't do, of sin, because you believe not on him. Of righteousness, because he's gone to the Father. That's the only righteous. And of judgment, because the prince of the world has been judged. So everything else except your mind is in subjection to him. Everything else in your mind includes, in this context, your emotions and all that crap. But if you're still giving breath to your mind, you know, then you may go visit the mercy seat every once in a while. But you won't stay there because you'll come right back down. Being, so again, let's get one more. Well, we don't have time. Yes, we do. Let's go to Philippians 3. Verse 18. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind or give breath to earthly things. For our conversation, our manner of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change or transfigure our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. It's always this. You have to keep that as the predicate. Your mind is the only enemy of God in time and space. Satan has been defeated. Every time you think you're right about something, you take a stand, and you've fallen from the strong city.
Isn't your mind the medium that Satan operates in and through?
Well, your mind is a snake. It's what does. It's a child of the evil one.
And that's the devil.
Until you reckon with fullness that you are the chief of sinners, you will never be able to ignore your mind. Or your emotions. They're the most important thing to you. And therefore, you will always be in bondage. Amen? John? Again, I say to you, out of the fullness of your heart, your mouth speaks. Can you possibly understand that if your speech isn't seasoned with salt, with eternity, that you should repent from it? But more important, can you possibly understand that if your thoughts are not seasoned with salt, that they don't have the component of eternity in every thought? That's what it means to bring every thought into captivity, casting down imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. And once that obedience has been fulfilled, then you stand in a state of constant readiness to revenge the disobedience once your obedience has been fulfilled. But, you know, it's just too much fun to use your mind. You can go places and you can do this and you can create your bucket list or whatever you're doing.
Where did that come from?
I just heard it. They were talking about it in NPR this morning. Anyhow, anybody, any other response? We got one more on this. We'll study tomorrow.
By yourself.
Take a big guy.